This is ensemble member Frank Galati, and you're listening to the Steppenwolf Theatre Company podcast.
I'm Associate Artistic Director David New, and I'm joined today by ensemble member Al Wilder. How are you, Al?
I'm good. Alan Wilder. I'm Al to my friends. Obviously, yeah. You're just relating to me as a friend.
Yeah.
But yeah. Officially, this is my sense of humor coming out.
A friend and colleague. So, Al, I think it's worth noting that you have appeared in more productions than any other Steppenwolf ensemble member or actor. Is that correct?
Yes.
And you are in your 62nd production with The Tempest, and you will, with Fake, Eric Simons' play Fake in the fall, make that 63.
I guess so. I never counted.
I guess another thing that sets you apart is that in addition to being prolific in the number of productions that you've acted in, you are also someone who is interested in playing both leading roles as well as smaller supporting roles. And, you know, as an observer, they both seem to have the same kind of pull for you. It seems fairly democratic. Is that safe to say?
It seems democratic.
Yeah, in other words, you don't seem to sort of choose a role because it's not meaty enough or, you know, say that's too large a role, but rather it seems like you give equal consideration to roles regardless of their size or, you know, sort of requirements of you as an actor.
I could go for more big roles, but I get offered all kinds of things, and a lot of them are smaller, and I'll do almost everything. I don't think I've ever turned down a role for being too small. I certainly wouldn't turn down a role for being too large, although these days I might if somehow I were offered Prospero, although Frank is brilliant with it and probably would say, my God, when you get older to learn all those words, I would be really afraid of learning all those words.
Hmm.
There was a time, for instance, to make a comparison, when we first mounted, and we remounted it like seven times, The Caretaker, Pinter, it's a three-act play and only three characters, hmm. And Davies is almost always on and almost always talking. And I don't think, as Malkovich said, they're usually played by younger men, although it could be a guy in his 60s or 70s. He doesn't think, and maybe Pinter didn't think, that that older men, or an actor appropriate to the age, would really be able to hold on to all that. And I think that was pretty much true for me, that it was good that I learned it when I was in my 20s and did old age makeup.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so what I'm saying is I don't think I would turn down something that is too big, but I certainly wouldn't turn down anything. I can't remember when I've turned down something that's too small. Here's my, and kind of comical, answer to the thing is I need work. I always like to work. And I think since I'm also the only original ensemble member who doesn't direct as well as act, and have really no interest in directing, and I'm the only guy who is willing to do a lot of, and let's face it, small parts. There are small parts. They say there are no small parts, there are only small actors or something, but there are small parts. There are parts that are two-dimensional. Mm-hmm. And I have liked the challenge a lot of times, if I'm not just simply throwing it into the category of, I need a job. I like the challenge of making, and I've been told I have been able to make small, peripheral, supporting, whatever, parts into something that is more memorable and meatier than it would seem to most people.
And part of that is because you are naturally interested in history. So if there's any sort of information to be mined about the time or the profession or the politics or the situation of the time, I feel that you bring that kind of complexity to a role that may not have it sort of on the page, so that it seems like you have such an interest in what was going on at the time historically that that you're able to find who that person is in that world. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I think I have. I would go further with that I'm interested in being a chameleon. I mean, I guess all actors are interested in, you know, they used to talk about personality actors and character actors, and character actors were sort of the ugly people, the people that weren't glamorous and sexy, and they weren't the male and female ingenues and the heroes and the whatever. But, you know, ideally, we all, well, all actors, all parts should be played by, you know, now we have character leads in it, but everybody would probably, actors would fancy themselves being character actors, that they're versatile. Everybody wants to think they're versatile.
Mm-hmm.
And I really can almost make an obsession, even with small parts, out of being different. And as you're saying with the history, researching something and finding interesting choices to make and very specific things, either out of what you can find in the script or what you can find in the research, which could be largely historical, or what I can find in myself that is some new approach that, you know, will, it may surprise people, although that's not my main focus, but to just make everybody that I play interesting, even though they're smallish.
I mean, I'd love to revisit all 62 productions, but...
I would never remember.
Why don't we visit your very first one, and then let's take a look at the roles that you've done since you came back to Chicago in 2006.
Okay.
What can you tell me about The Lesson in 1976? Just can you draw the picture of what we would have seen had we been around during the rehearsals and performance of The Lesson?
Jeff Perry directing Moira Harris and myself. In that, we started the company and we had this nutty idea that because you can't get the best scripts in the world, you can't get the latest thing from New York or London or whatever, and we were just greenhorns out of college, well, let's have an evening of, or two evenings of two one-acts each. We'll have these four one-acts sort of running in rep. And, you know, it's just like short films. There's not a big... But it got us some kind of a start, a little bit of notoriety in the local area. So we had these four plays. Ours was The Lesson, and Jeff. There was something strange going on in the little family, the dysfunctional family here, where Moira decided whenever I came within arm's length of her, she'd swat me. Whether it was a loving kind of thing, whether it was a character kind of thing, or whether she really harbored kind of some kind of resentment or something from when we were in college. I don't know what it was. But I said, you know, Jeff, whenever I get close enough to Moira, she hauls off and smacks me, you know. And that's what it was. I mean, I heard from somebody that it wasn't very good. But it was terrific to me because it was a style that was challenging. I mean, from the word go, we challenged ourselves with literature that wasn't going to be, oh, you know, we're starting a theater company and we're going to do a musical, or we're starting a little group, you know, and we're going to do Neil Simon. You know, we dove right into, you know, Leonard Melfi and Pinter and Ionesco and you know, these kinds of things. We dove right into it. And, you know, the hell with what people thought we should do or what was really, I don't know, saleable even for a group of nine people in the basement of a church in Highland Park, Illinois. But you know, damn it, we were going to challenge ourselves and challenge the audience, and it was going to be about the actor's process of discovering and building a cohesive thing among ourselves, an ensemble.
That kind of energy has clearly, you know, built the ensemble ethic and ethos at Steppenwolf. And, you know, you're in a production now that has, originally 10 ensemble members. Lois Smith left to do another production, and now there are 9 ensemble members. And it's not only the ensemble members that share that ethic, but also all of the actors on stage. So can you just talk a little bit about some of the productions that you've appeared in since you've returned to live in Chicago? So let's cast our minds back to 2006 and the production of Sonia Flew. You played two characters in that.
Mm-hmm. It was a wonderful challenge for me because one of the people inspired me, comical character actors inspired me to switch from foreign languages in college to theater. And, you know, people like Peter Sellers. So, I mean, it was a bit of a Peter Sellers thing because in the first act, I was an older Yiddish man, a Polish Jew who survived the Holocaust. And in the second act, I was a Cuban. And I thought it was a terrific ensemble that we built within the show of not Steppenwolf ensemble, a lot of ensemble people per se. Yep. I guess I was the only one that was Steppenwolf ensemble in mm-hmm. it. But it felt like it was a great cohesive group.
Great. Let's go to Diary of Anne Frank.
Diary of Anne Frank was very much an ensemble piece, and it was my first time working with Tina Landau and her viewpoints approach. And I thought the whole situation was almost ideal because people hiding from the Nazis together in this little place was perfect for her approach and Steppenwolf's ensemble approach, even without Tina's viewpoints.
Right. And then you went on to The Crucible.
The Crucible was, a great piece of writing and one of my smaller roles that I really enjoyed doing. I took, you know, that kind of satisfaction from delving into a character that could easily be sort of swept off into the corner. And it was an interesting challenge to work with some of those people that I, you know, hadn't known before. You know, mm-hmm. I think we built a pretty good production of an American classic.
And then the most recent production before The Tempest was Conor McPherson's The Seafarer.
Yeah, The Seafarer was really wonderful and joyous to me. And
you're fantastic in it.
Yeah, and I really love his writing. I love the fact that we joked about how outside of Randall Newsome, we had a lot of the old gang of, you know, I mean, this theater in recent years has become a different kind of ensemble and a very big ensemble and, you know, a lot of new people that haven't worked that much or at all together. But, you know, at one time we were sort of accused of being the boys' club, and it was back to the boys' club to some extent, and that was fun. I mean, that was Mahoney and Guinan and Irwin and Randall Arney and me. That was terrific,
yeah.
You know, and I love being Irish.
And now we have The Tempest.
The Tempest is another kind of completely different animal. It's a different kind of challenge, I gotta say, to fit into a thing that is doing so many challenging stylistic things. It's, you know, people sometimes talk about jumping on the moving train or the moving merry-go-round, and this is a moving a lot of things to jump onto. And but it's been wonderful to work with Tina again and to feel there's a great sense of accomplishment for any actor when you feel like you can make Shakespeare really clear and exciting and direct for a modern audience. You know?
Yeah.
That they don't feel like they're going to the church or the museum. I didn't quite understand that, but it's good for me. It's culture,
right.
You know?
Yes, indeed. The production succeeds in that. So, and then next fall, you'll be in the first play of the season, which is called Fake, which has been written and will be directed by ensemble member Eric Simonson,
yeah.
In which you will play two roles again.
Yeah. Yeah, now, that'll be a challenge since I am, as my wife says, you know, the Jewish expression maven. I'm the dialect maven because I studied German, Russian, and French, and that's what led me into the Peter Sellers experience. Yeah, I'll be two Brits, and I'll have to try to find ways of, I hope, differentiating those characters, not just in dialect, but in, you know, other things. So
yeah.
It's a, you know, besides whatever, I haven't been able to read the latest version of it, but I know something of the story from a ways back. Besides the challenge, the excitement of working with Eric again and telling this story, that'll be my particular juicy, fun kind of thing is to, you know, once you play a couple of different roles or more in a thing, it's the character actor's dream of, oh my God, I couldn't believe that, you know, as in Sonia Flew, I hope I could do the same kind of thing as in Sonia Flew when people said, I didn't know you were the same guy in the second act as that guy who was in the first act. It was the old, you know, when you can surprise people, you know, that even know you.
Yeah.
That's a wonderful thing.
Thanks for taking the time to talk, Al. We'll let you get off to get your dinner before the show this evening. And if you'd like more information...
Well, thank you, David. There's a special sound effect I've got going into a bottle.
And if you'd like more information on Steppenwolf's production of The Tempest, you can visit www.steppenwolf.org. AT&T is the sponsor of online content at steppenwolf.org.